Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this book. Pray now your Spirit will guide us in our study. In Christ's name, amen. I want to begin tonight, or today. Where's the other little mic? Okay. I want to begin with having Chris Day, he doesn't know he's going to do this. I want him to share, and you can just use that mic there, just share with what he was talking with. I don't even know who he was talking with, but I want to talk about what we're doing and the Holy Spirit. Is this type of study absolutely necessary? No, it isn't. And I was talking to Chris at Wednesday night class, and he was telling me that he got into this. So tell us about that conversation. Am I not communicating with you? Somebody ask you about the Holy Spirit or something, and doing this kind of work, do we have to, the observation, interpretation, application, and all the things we're learning, is this in the Holy Spirit? Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to look like I'm confused.
Well, then I'll comment on what I was thinking when he told me.
Okay, maybe I can expound upon it once you tell me what I told you.
People, let me explain something. No, this is not absolutely necessary study. Person knows how to be filled with the Spirit, get into the Word of God. But these are good guiding principles that we can watch from. It's just like, for an example, spiritual love. When you're filled with the Spirit, He pours in spiritual love, and you're going to love one another. Well, do I have to know all the verses about serve one another, not lie to one another, all these kinds of things in that? No, you're walking in the Spirit of God. But these are the things you can look for. These are the things you can watch for. These are the things you can think about when you're in the power of the Holy Spirit and dealing with one another. The same thing is true here. We're not confined to this study. We're going to rely on the Holy Spirit. But it sure is nice to have some idea of, okay, I now understand this. Read through it. Observe things that are there. And that's done in the Holy Spirit. And then work on some interpreting. That's done in the Holy Spirit. So this is just from many, many, many decades, centuries of people studying the Bible. That's where all of this came from. When they at Dallas Seminary set these things up, they were just going by centuries of studying the Bible from people like Stephen Carnock, people that have studied the Bible and preached the Bible and taught the Bible who didn't go through all of this kind of thing. Having said that, let's go to the Old Testament, New Testament. You had scribes, you had Pharisees, schools of scribes. They were learned. They were being taught. They were taught how to deal with the law, how to read the law, how to teach the law by the older scribes, by the older prophets, by the older priests. So you have, that's the whole thing with the synagogue and these kind of things. Then you go into the church history. You've always had the men who were prepared, like they started off with the apostles. They taught like Paul, taught Titus and Timothy. And then we don't have any record, but I'm sure Timothy, Titus, these men, they taught others later about, looking at the scriptures and all. And in American history, I don't know about European history that much. I don't know that much about the Oriental history and dealing with Christianity. But what would generally happen is a man, young man, would actually move into the preacher's house and live with him. And they would study the Bible together. And he would travel with the preacher. Preachers traveled a lot then, doing circuit. And he would travel with the preacher, and he would work with the preacher. So there's always been the training of younger men coming up. And this is what was so startling, if you think about it, with Jesus Christ. See, with Jesus, who's this little kid coming and teaching us and speaking unbelievable words of wisdom? He wasn't trained. He didn't go to our Pharisaic school and these kind of things. And the same thing with John the Baptist, John the Voice. He, as far as they knew, wasn't trained or schooled. So there's always been a introduction, a how this is how I work at it, it's how I study. And these country preachers in American history, some of them may have been doing it wrong, some of them right, whatever, but they would teach a young man. And then he would go out and he would bring in somebody and teach them. So what we're doing is just taking years of the benefit of many years of study, preachers, teachers, scholars, theologians, and they compile this. Now, before we leave this and move on, look at page 12 in book 1. You don't have book 1 again?
No.
Your wife has it again?
Well,
I'm just kidding you. Having fun with you. All right. We did go through this whole book rather fast. I just want to be sure, get some things down, kind of go over some things. Got the power of the Word of God, purpose of the Word of God, the role of the Holy Spirit in study, essential truths about the Bible, definition terms, revelation, inspiration, inerrancy, authority, illumination, interpretation, systematic theology. And then we took up the main thing of observation, interpretation, application. So, and this is what you're going to be doing. First of all, when you sit down and you open up the Bible, that God's power, God's Word, that the purpose is, and you should have some essential truths in mind. Now let's go to observation and interpretation and then application. Let me see. I want to go through, and I had these things. I thought I had paper clips where I wanted to just spend a few moments of our time in dealing with these things. Let's see. And then, well, you go to page 28. These terms. Be sure that you know those terms, people. Those terms we just saw on page 12. Be sure you know them. They're just important to know, and they're defined for you in the book here. And let's see. Then we got the structure, atmosphere, all of that. What am I looking for here? Application, other biographical, topical, theological, let's see, actually, use of the Old Testament, New Testament, page 14. So what I'm saying is, be sure you always kind of come back to pages 12, 13, and 14. Be sure you know these things, especially when you start to open up the Bible and start to study the Bible. Now, let's talk about assignments for today. Did we have assignments?
Some review, several pages.
Reading in page 2.
Reading Joshua and then reading the first page. All right, let's get out for the second book then. Let's get out the second book. Let me get mine out. Here we go.
Do you have mine?
Would you hand that to her, please? Thank you. Okay, Joshua. Let's turn to Joshua 24. How many of you did the assignment on Joshua 24? One, two, just two? Okay. First of all, who's speaking?
Quoting the Lord.
Okay. Now, Morgan, did you find anything that was missing?
No, I didn't.
Did not find anything missing?
Kept looking, and I couldn't find
What you find missing?
They never mentioned the law.
Never mentioned the law. Never mentioned the giving of the law and the Mount Sinai, all that went on with the law. People, the law is not important. That's what's important here. This is the Lord speaking. This is God speaking. And He left it out. He left out the law. And most people say that's one of the most important events in the Pentateuch, is the giving of the law. God goes through His history, doesn't even mention it. Now, we'll come to this later. But you got to remember, when was the law given? Who can tell me when the law was given?
When Moses went up to the mountain.
Okay, where were they?
Wandering
in the wilderness. Okay? Were they with the Lord? Were they obedient and worshiping Him? No. They were totally out. Totally out.
Out of worship.
Out of tune with God.
So they went to idol worship.
Yeah, went to idolatry. Went to all of this stuff. So the law was given because they were so out of it. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. This is one of the most important chapters in the Old Testament you'll want to remember.
25.
Five. One of the most important chapters you'll want to pay attention to in regard when you talk to people about the law and all of these kind of things. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. And let's read from verse 1. Then Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, Shema Israel, the statutes and ordinances which I am speaking today in your hearing, that you may learn them, observe them carefully." Now know what he says. "The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb." Horeb is in, they're out of the plan of God. It's a desert. "The Lord," now look at verse 3. "The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." This is not the Abrahamic covenant. This is not the covenant repeated to Isaac and then Jacob. So it says, "The Lord didn't make this covenant with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, but with us, with those of us alive here today. The Lord spoke to your face in the mountain from the midst of the fire." So what I'm saying is that you got to understand why the law was even given. God never intended the law. God always intended the Abrahamic covenant. He never intended the law. But they were so out of it, He had to give them the law to show them they were such sinners, they need to come to Him through the Abrahamic covenant. Okay, now, let's take a look at our new book. Book 2, Old Testament Survey. Old Testament Survey. And again, let me pick up my glasses that I threw on the floor. After I didn't throw them, I dropped them.
Herman, yes. Before we move on to that, since you started this.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you interpret that it was a result of their failings that this covenant was created?
Okay.
And more than that, does the covenant and the law supersede the covenant?
No, not the Abrahamic covenant.
So these are two separate covenants.
Yes.
Right? Okay. The Abrahamic covenant is still faithful.
Oh yes. In fact, that's why I always wished that somebody, Joshua maybe, would have come up and just said, "You know what? I'm not going to work. You told me you'd give us this land. I want the land. So I'm trusting you to give us the land." I wonder what the Lord would have done.
If I'd given him the land.
Just given him the land. But anyway, let's see. Okay, I got an answer here. I need to get a follow up on it.
Just an idea about if someone in a class.
summarize that question quickly before you answer it? So,
oh, so it'll be on there, yes. So yeah. Well, before I summarize, let me be sure I got an answer.
Repeat the question. I could
yes.
Chris was, how do we understand the law was not given
yeah.
As a way of faith or a way of living for God, right?
Yeah.
General, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let me see here. Okay, what you have to do in answer to your question is you got to understand, all right, I speak in verse 1 of chapter 5, I speak in you today in your hearing that you may learn and observe them. The Lord your God made a covenant with us at Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. That's our first little clue. But with us, those of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke face to face with us on the mountain. And then he goes through all the things that they are doing. They're in idolatry. They are worshiping other gods. Let's see. Okay, look at verse 6 of chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 24. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, and for our survival as it is today. And it will be righteousness for us. That's self-righteousness. That's not God's righteousness. That's self-righteousness based on works. Do and do, do and do. If we are careful to observe the commandments before the Lord our God, just as He commanded us, it's our righteousness, self-righteousness. That's what the law does. The law points out that you're... I will work on your question and come back with it.
Okay.
Okay. Now, let's go to the book and let's see here. Look with me, if you will, at page 12. Just let you know, and of course none of y'all are in school anymore, but I learned, it took me to college to learn it, but I had a visiting professor of one of the California schools, UCLA or somewhere, and he taught us a wonderful lesson, the most important book in any, and the most important part of any book is table of content. There is no more important page in any book. You digest, he said, every one of you should know a table of content before you ever go into a class. Before you go into class one, you take your textbook and learn that table of content. So let's just look at it, see where we're going. See where we're going. Roman numeral 1, introduction. Roman numeral 2, the books of the Old Testament. That's it. No, Roman numeral 3, summary. Roman numeral 4, close of the Old Testament. So let's go back. Those are the four there. So we're going to learn introduction. Then we're going to have the books of the Old Testament. So we're going to break those down some way. And then a summary. So let's go back and look. Introduction. How we got the Old Testament. 39 books of the Old Testament. Overview of Old Testament history. Time periods of Old Testament history. Brief timeline of the Old Testament. Why study the Old Testament? Old Testament written for us. Developing a biblical worldview. Relationship between the Old and the New Testament. Theology of the Old Testament. Theme of the Old Testament. Be interesting to note how he makes a difference between theology and theme. Roman numeral 2, the books. 5 books of the law. Introduction to the Pentateuch. A couple of my friends, well, one good friend of mine, we took a course under Dr. Dwight Pentecost called the Pentateuch. It was an elective called the Pentateuch. And it was an Old Testament study. So we took that. And I'll be sharing some things from that. Introduction to the Pentateuch. Genesis. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So we want to Genesis because it is the beginning. Exodus, leaving. Leaving Egypt. Leviticus, the Levitical priesthood, and all of the ordinances. Numbers, numbering the tribes. And then Deuteronomy, the law. Then B, the 12 historical books. Introduction to the historical books. Pre-exile. And then you got 9 books. Post-exile, 3 books. Then you got 5 books of poetry. The 17 books of prophecy. 5 major prophets. Why study prophecy? The nature of God's prophets. The message of a prophet. Time period and emphasis of biblical prophecy. Major minor prophets in their historical timeline. Relationship between Abraham, Moses, David, and the New Covenant. Pre-exile, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Exile, Ezekiel, Daniel. 12 minor prophets, introduction, and then we look early at those. And then the introduction, then he says, summary, the most significant chapters of the Old Testament, which I think is interesting to be able to say that. Close of the Old Testament. Okay, what I'm going to do now, I'm going to give you a chart of the Old Testament and where the books fit in.
Church for a while. For a couple of weeks anyway.
It's going to take us that long to figure out what it says.
Alright, here's what we're going to do.
What is
the super secret
time?
That's right.
Now, when I was in Dr. Walkie's class, Old Testament Survey, I had to learn almost everything on this chart, the dates included, the kings of the Old Testament, or the Northern Kingdom, kings of the Southern Kingdom, and all that. And I just can't do that. So I sat down one night and made this the precursor to this chart. So what we're looking at, let me just tell you how to read this. At the very top, it's rather simple. You got a line coming down with dates. So as you look at your chart, everything in red is a book of the Old Testament. All the books of the Old Testament are on this chart, where they occurred in history. That's what I love about it. Kind of let you know where the books occur. Most of the cases, this is the way you read it.
When the books were written, not the time period that they covered and that they wrote.
No, when they were written, when that writer lived.
Okay.
Okay. As you look at it this way, let me show you. You come down, and then when you come like this, and then you cut it off here, and then you resume the line. Okay, now. As you look at the further outside, you'll see blue. Mm-hmm. Those are the powers that God used to discipline or chastise Israel, Judah. Mm-hmm. So the Northern Kingdom, you had the Arameans, the Syrians, Moab, and the Assyrians. Over on the right side, the Southern Kingdom, Egypt, Edom, Syria, Philistine, Arab, Edom, Arameans, Assyrians, Assyria, Babylon, and Babylon captivity. Y'all see that? As you move in, so you got the blue out here, these are the enemies or the things that God used. Then you have in red, generally, coming in here, you have where the books of the Bible, where they fit in. And the same thing on the kings of the north. By the way, you come down, this right here is the Northern Kingdom. This is the northern kingdom. This is the southern kingdom. Can you see that? The northern kingdom, called Israel, that's what the book of 1 and 2 Kings is about. You keep on that same line, got the southern kingdom, Judah, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Are y'all with me? You find Chronicles? Okay. Now, let's go back up. Let me also make a very important statement. Dates. I'm not a date debater. You'll find people who have different dates on some of these. Okay, I can sit down and have a Coke with you. I don't care. You know, and there are a lot of them we don't know anyway. They're conservative. These are conservative historians' dates. And so they're just circa. You want to go later or earlier, that's fine. Circa 2200, Job. Then you come down, up at the very top. Then you come down, birth of Abraham. Somewhere around 2160. Then you have Abraham enters the land. Somewhere around 2086. Remember, B.C. reads down.
But Job and Abraham are almost contemporaries.
I'm sorry?
Job and Abraham are almost
contemporaries. Some people have them contemporaries. I have nothing in Job that leads me to believe that. So that's why I put Job a little bit before. Okay. Birth of Isaac, around 2060. Birth of Jacob, around 2000. And then 1870, Jacob enters the land. 1440, Exodus out of Egypt. 1400, Joshua enters the land. Now out there with Moses, now you've got, over in the red, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then we have Joshua enters the land. You got Joshua, circa 1475 to 1365. Then you got death of Joshua begins the period. Just anytime you got a question, raise your hand. Begins the period of Judges. Over on the right, Judges 1370 to approximately 1075. Ruth 1100. Ruth's in the period there with the Judges. Then you got the end of the Judges, going back to the center line, 1050. 1051, Saul is king. So you go over to the right, you got 1 and 2 Samuel. Samuel was 1080 to 1017. David is king, 1011. Solomon is king, 971. And then so you come over here on the right, Psalms and Proverbs. Psalms, a lot of Psalms written by David. A lot of songs written by other people, but it's all in that time frame. Proverbs, probably written by Solomon. Then you got Song of Solomon, and then you got Ecclesiastes, all in that same time frame. So Solomon is king. Solomon builds a temple 480 years after the Exodus, and then you have the kingdom split. Now, the reason the kingdom split, people, is because of the idolatry of the people, and because of God's love for David, he did not split the kingdom till after Solomon died. Solomon was the cause of the split, but because of God's love for David, he did not do it today at David's own son's time. But Solomon was the cause of it. Now we come down on the left side. Southern kingdom, Israel, kings. Now, you come down and stay with the left side. On the left of that line, you see the date. So the capital is Samaria, whereas the capital of the southern kingdom is Jerusalem. Y'all see that? Okay. Now, on the left there, the northern kingdom, you got approximate dates on the left, and then you see the names of each of the kings of the northern kingdom and their dates. Now, if you look under Nadab, the second king of the northern kingdom, got an A. Baasha A, Elah A, Zimri A, Amra A, Ahab, Jezebel B, Ahaziah B, Jehoram B. Okay, and then you come down and look at Jehoahaz, 814 to 799. You see that? There's an I after his name. And then you come down to Jeroboam, to Decay, to Zechariah. I don't have anything by them now. What are all those letters? Well, we had to know for this class something about the kings. So down at the very bottom of your sheet, you have A, apostasy. R, reform. That means he went back to the way of David the king. Went back to truth. B, Baal worship. E, evil. I, idolatry. So that's the key that I use. And it's just to give you a rough idea. Just to give you a rough idea about those kings. Yes, sir.
You got two eyes under next to Jeroboam. On the left side.
72 to 72.
Jeroboam the first?
It says, Jeroboam the second, is that what that is?
No, it's Jeroboam the first.
I'm seeing two and decay.
Jeroboam two. Oh, okay, down here at 752.
Yeah, what does the two eyes mean?
I'll have to check that. I'm glad you pointed it out. I'll have to see what I had in mind.
Double idolatry.
Decay. I'll have to see why I got Jeroboam 2 right next to him.
So as a point of interest, during David's reign, we see the story of David, and he's a ringtail tutor, okay? But his inside his kingdom at that time, they were as under God.
They were what?
They were as under God.
Yes, yes.
Okay, in the practice.
Yes, and that's why David will be used in reading a lot of these prophets. If the writers still say he was like his father David, or he was not like his father David. And that means he did not follow the Lord, or he did follow the Lord.
So, just as an aside there, you're going to say that everybody in the kingdom knew what David generally was doing.
Yes.
Okay, they understood all
yes.
this. Okay.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
But on the other side, they also understood that, hey,
he's not perfect. He said.
Right. God favors this man, and it's how he's picked up.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah,
okay. Let's stay with the northern kingdom. And you come down, and if you look where the Assyrians come in, under Ahaziah, Moab, under Jehoram, and then you have, this is where we bring in Jonah, writing about Nineveh, Amos. Now, he was a writer to Israel. He was a writer to Israel. Let's see if I can give you what I'm dealing with here. But anyway, he wrote to Israel. Hosea wrote to Israel, primarily the northern kingdom. Now, here's the hell. You're sitting at home. You open up the book of Jonah. Where does it even fit? Well, you just look. Okay, he's related to the northern kingdom. And then we know they were just really mad. You know, every one of them were mad. And Jonah came along in 785. 775, wrote to Nineveh, wrote about Nineveh. Amos, he's dealing with, and these, all of the writers of these prophets were to warn Israel or Judah, you better get back. God's going to come, and he's going to be really upset. So, it was a warning and a plea to get back to what is straight. So, when you read those, you can sit down and just read them, you kind of get, okay, that's why I like this chart. I had it right there on my desk. And sometimes I'll look at it just to kind of get oriented to what we're dealing with. And Amos, he's writing to Israel, 765. Okay, 765, Jeroboam, decay. I know what's going on in the nation. So, and it's been going on. And look what's not far away. 765 to 755. When is the fall of Samaria? 722. So what can I expect in Jonah, Amos, and Hosea? I expect warning of coming judgment. You see that? I'm just showing you how to really use this to your advantage. You can say, oh, it's close. It's close. They're going to warn of that. So when I'm reading those, I can get a feel of all that's going on. Then enters in 751 the Assyrians. Okay, Jonah, Amos, Hosea are going to warn about God's discipline. Here they come, the Assyrians. They've been warned, and here they come. And Tiglath-Pileser III at full, and then finally at 722, the fall of Samaria. By Shalmaneser IV, Sargon II was part of all of this. Fall of Samaria. Now let's go over to the southern kingdom. Capital, Jerusalem. And let's see. By the way, over on the northern kingdom, 885 to 874 Amai, he moved the kingdom. He was the one who established Samaria as the kingdom, as the headquarters, capital. Okay, now, let's go to the southern kingdom. Southern kingdom, you got dates on the left, and then the kings on the right, some kind of little ideal. No, pinpoint, but it gives you an ideal of what they're about. So you have Egypt, invades in 926, Edom, Syria, the Philistines, Arab, all these countries come into play. Then you come down, there's where Obadiah fits in. Obadiah, and he's writing primarily to Edom, and about Edom. And then you've got Joel, and under Jehoash, and so he's writing to Judah. That's what that little Judah beside the name Joel. He's writing to Judah. Then you have the Assyrians coming in, going to start giving heck for the southern kingdom now. And Micah. Micah is going to write in regard to Sennacherib and Sennacherib's invasion. Isaiah, he writes to both Israel and Judah. That's what that tells you, where it says Israel and Judah. Isaiah wrote to both of them. And you'll note the dates. Micah and Isaiah are contemporaries. You can see that by the dates. Then you come down to Nahum, and he's primarily dealing with the Assyrian invasion. Zephaniah, dates of Zephaniah, and the corresponding to Nahum, they were contemporaries. And Jeremiah, contemporary, he wrote the Lamentations in 586, approximately. Then you've got Habakkuk, writing to Judah, 620-610, and Babylon. And then you come to the Babylonian captivity in 586. Now, let's talk about the second half of the sheet. I've hand-boxed on the right side where it says return from Babylon. See a little box? Everybody see it? Okay. I had a hand-box. I couldn't do it on my computer. I called several people and they couldn't do it. But Julie told me today, I'm going to email her this and she'll figure out how to do it. She said just... You highlight it and then you brace it around, but you can't just highlight, because if you highlight, you highlight all the way across. I don't want to just highlight that section. She went, ooh, that's right, this morning. So she said, I'll have to work on that. It can be done. So she's going to do this electronically, so when I get these printed up for the church, it'll be nice and neat. Not that that's not nice and neat. I did a pretty good job. Okay, but here's what you're looking at here. In that box, you've got 586, Babylonian captivity. In 722, the fall of the northern kingdom. 586, the fall of the southern kingdom. Now, they're in captivity. So, I just put in here, return from Babylonian captivity, about a 100-year period. 536 to 432, approximately. 536 to 516, Zerubbabel was commanded to return and rebuild the temple. The prophet Haggai and Zechariah and Nehemiah are in this time period. Ezra also wrote. But let me show you the difference. Prophet Haggai, 520 to 505. Prophet Zechariah, 520 to 490. Now you got Esther. Esther fits in here. Esther is between the two periods of return. Between the two periods of return, 516 to 457. And then the third is 457 to 432. So, I hope that that's clear to you. Is that not clear? Help me, because if it's not, I'll do it over again some way for the church. But all I'm doing here, I want to show you that the return is in three stages.
So we're okay.
It's in three stages. 536 to 516. 516 to 457. 457 to 432. And you have Ezra wrote of both periods, Nehemiah of the second period. Okay?
So it's kind of interesting that boom, both kingdoms fall, and we, I guess we're going to see that conversion together, because I talked about it.
Okay. So, I just want to give you in a box about the return. Now, let's go over to the left side, pick up some dates before the 536. In 626, Nebuchadnezzar becomes king of Babylon and dies in 605. Nineveh falls under Sinshar Ishkam of Assyria, 612. So now we have a change, a shift in power. Assyria is now in power. Nebuchadnezzar comes to Jerusalem, 606. Daniel is taken into captivity into Babylon, 605 to 536, date of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar returns and takes 10,000 to Babylon, 596. Ezekiel, 593 to 560. The fall of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, Babylonian captivity, 586. Now you see that happening up there. Babylon falls under Belshazzar to the Persians, 539. Now you're ready for that box. You have the 536. I'm wondering if I should move that box to that space on the left side there. Mm-hmm. I'll think about that. 536 starts the return under Cyrus. Cyrus dies, 530. 517, restoration under the Persians. 516, the temple's rebuilt. 444, the command to rebuild the walls. That's very important. Then you look to the left side. Close of the Old Testament by the prophet Malachi. 435 to 415, wrote to the Jews, all Jews. There is no northern and southern kingdom anymore. Prophecy of the forerunner of the Messiah is prophet Malachi. 425 is about the time frame of Malachi. 396, Jerusalem completed. 333, Alexander the Great. 323, Alexander dies and the kingdom is divided. His kingdom is divided. I have to put in his. His kingdom is divided. 167, the Maccabean War for independence against the Antiochus Epiphanes. Once that's where some people think we got the whole idea of Christmas lights on a tree. 164, the Jews won this battle. The temple is purified. That's what they think. They had a lot of lights and all, and that's what people think. We had the trees on the tree from this time frame. 63, Pompey comes to put Jerusalem under Roman rule. 3 to 4 B.C., Jesus, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. A.D. 33, the cross. 33, the church begins. 70, the temple and Jerusalem destroyed. 99 A.D., canon is completed. Okay, now, when I did this some time ago, I had two big spaces up at the upper left, lower left. So I put in the upper left. Try to explain the 7 years of tribulation, where it comes from. So this is the last 7 years of Israel's promised 490 years. Daniel's 70 weeks, 490 years. 486, Babylonian captivity. 516, return and the temple rebuilt. Start 444, the command to rebuild the new 490 years begins with the command to rebuild the temple. It dropped down to 33 A.D. and with the interruption, that's approximately 483 years. And you got to take into account lunar, solar, change in calendars, all that stuff. I didn't put all that here. So don't figure this out. Well, that doesn't come out to exactly 483 years. You're dealing with the change in the calendars of Solar Moon. Yes.
Yeah, the Jewish calendar was 360 days.
Yes, 360. Yes. That's lunar. And but you got 7 years of tribulation. That gets the 400 promised years of Daniel's 70th week. Okay? So that's what that's about. Just kind of give you an idea of how that fits in, why there's 7 years of tribulation. Then down at the bottom, the line of Christ, the tribe of Judah, David, and Bathsheba. Down Solomon's line is the legal line. Down Nathan is the physical line of Mary. Down Nathan is Mary, and down Solomon is Joseph. The Joseph side is the legal line, the royal line. Down Nathan to Mary is the physical line of the right of Jesus Christ to be king.
I think you ought to look at natural history. Just to see if you can get some people to bite on that one. What? You got what?
Okay. Any questions, comments, changes, whatever? Yes, sir.
You said when they returned from Babylon, the northern and southern kingdom were no more. They were just the Jews. But in the New Testament, there's several mentions about the Samaritans. Is the Samaritans different than Samaria?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, let's see. Since the dating on the left there goes down, let's see, that little box that we added, the return from Babylon starts at 536. I guess maybe I should put, this box here? Would that be easier? Or does it matter?
Yeah, on this side?
Yeah, move it to the other side and then space. Okay, I might do that. I'll see if I have room to move it over there. Okay.
So the seven-year tribulation, that's because God told them to rest on that seventh year of... What do you mean?
They were in Daniel's 70th week. They were promised 490 years. They came down and they crucified the Messiah 7 years short. So they still have 7 years of the promise. And that promise comes
up. So that was God's plan to get the Jews back?
Yes. 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 It's just as a... And all that 7 years is the completion of the promise 490 years.
After the rapture of the church.
After the rapture of the church. And that's one of the strong reasons why there's not a mid-trib rapture and all this stuff. The church has nothing to do with that last 7 years of Israel's. It's about Israel. It's not about the church.
Yeah, it's about the Jews.
It's about the Jews. It's not about the church. We have nothing to do with it.
Will just the Jews be saved during that time, or do you think everybody...
Oh, no, Gentiles. All over the world will be saved. Yes. Gentiles will be saved. Jews will be saved. And many
they'll be martyred.
Yeah, many of them will be martyred. Yep, many of them will be martyred. So, let's just talk. How does this help you in seeing where the books of the Bible fit?
This is great. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what's going on, where they are in history, and what's happening in history. If you look, when you read a Bible, you want to look what happened before, what happened afterward, what's coming up. Like I was saying with Jonah, Amos, and Hosea, they all are talking about the warning that God's going to come, and then come the Assyrians. God says, okay, you didn't listen. So the Assyrians come. So when we read Jonah, Amos, Hosea, we kind of know what we're dealing with now. Got to have an idea where it fits into history and who and what they were writing about. Then you go over to the southern kingdom, Obadiah, what he was dealing with, Edom, he was dealing with Egypt, Syria, Edom, Philistine, the Arabian countries, and Obadiah, talking about Edom and what's happening, you better listen. And you had evil, a little bit of reform under Asa, Jehoshaphat reform, and then Jehoram, Baal worship. So God brings in Obadiah. And then you come down to Joel. And you look under 830, under the southern kingdom, 835 to 795. Jehoash did two things. First of all, he had a reform, and then he went into idolatry. Mm-hmm. So he saw it, and then he lost it. very quickly. And so this just helps you, gives you an idea of the kings and where they fit, the books of the Bible, where all they fit, what they were about, what's going on, and where Malachi fits in, and the dates of Malachi. Just get a whole line flow of the time frame of the Old Testament. And like I said, I had to know almost this whole chart, just a past New Old Testament survey under Dr. Walkie. But it helped me, and helped several other students too. But anyway, I've done a little reform work on it. Up at the very top, I didn't even mention that. Creation, Adam, fall, flood, Noah, three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Tower of Babel, nations, and birth of Israel.
But you got 960, Solomon builds the temple. Then you got Jonah, Amos, and Hosea are sitting there. Do you feel like they were preaching this at the temple?
960, Solomon builds the temple. Now your question is what?
Were Jonah and Amos and Hosea preaching at the temple? I mean, were they physically there at the temple, warning Israel? Do you get the?
Let me think about that.
Where did the Jewish?
I'd have to read it, but I think they did do some prophesying at the temple.
So the prophets would go to the temple,
yes,
and stand there and speak out.
Yes, I know Jeremiah did. He got in a lot of trouble.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So they would be able to enter so far, but they had enough freedom of speech to stand there and say, "Hey, Israel."
Well, they had the freedom of speech, but some of them got stoned and imprisoned.
It's a little different version of freedom of speech.
But they went up and said, they just delivered the message. They hated Jeremiah. And he even lambasted the temple. He just said, temple, temple, temple. And he meant the temple there, and then he meant the temple of Jesus Christ. And I mean, boy, yeah, he was right there in the temple. And he told them about that temple. So it's fun to read these books when you see where they fit.
Do you think the northern kingdom was the 10 lost tribes of Israel? Is that part of the 10 lost tribes?
I don't think so. But that's just me. Some people do. I don't think so. Okay.
But they divided Israel as part of the tribes and gave them specific sectors of land, a specific geography to go into.
Yeah, the diaspora.
No, not that's before the diaspora. Mm-hmm. If they had the
the land was all divided earlier.
Right.
In fact, that's one of the beautiful things of Naphtali is told in Deuteronomy that something about being on the shore, and this was long before they'd even gone into the land. Talking about how Naphtali would be blessed and all.
Okay. Well, what there are ten tribes went to northern Israel. And two went to the
yes.
southern Israel.
Yes.
So your question was?
Is the northern tribe part of the 10 lost tribes?
Judah and Benjamin make up the southern kingdom.
Are you talking about when the northern kingdom was defeated and wiped out? What happened to those 10 tribes?
Right.
Oh, I thought they were put to the sword.
Yeah, also put to the sword.
Yeah, I thought they were just annihilated.
Okay. Any questions or something that you think would make it easier or better? And I'm not offended. It's on my shoulder. No chip here.
This is pretty cool.
Okay. And What I'm going to do is show you what my plans are. My plans. I had to ask Julie because I got this copy on my computer that's larger than the copy that we have,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know how that happened. And Julie said, "Well, it's more than just increasing the font size because I tried to increase the font size off of that one and it just took it off the page.
Yeah.
But this is larger and it's just the same thing. But I don't know how I did it.
Margins.
So some way
you adjusted your margins.
No.
On the page.
Nope.
Could have had all adjusted.
Yeah, I could have. I don't know. She's going to figure it out. And I want to give this out to the church. And then for those who want it, I want a small one you put in your Bible. Just put a tape in the back of your Bible. So if you open up a book, you can just go through and see where that Old Testament book is and have an idea of where it is. So I want to get both of these out when we do this in that Roman study on Sunday morning. And so that's coming up. Both of those copies are coming up. Okay, now, with this in mind, let's take us a quick break here, and then we'll come back and get ready to put all of this into action that we've looked at. So let's take us a break.
Then these